Hello, hello. It's good to be here for sure. And a quick technical note, Lucas, I have a technology over there that's smarter than you, so just make sure it doesn't crash. You don't have to hit any buttons. I kid with my kid. Well, good morning. It's great to be here with everybody in person and online during this holiday weekend. Since we're still in between series, Bob gave me free rein for today's message, so I can't blame him if it's boring. Actually, I can always blame Bob. He asked me to get up here. For all the parents out there, welcome to the summer break that you never thought would be here. I can't help but feel for all of our students, teachers, and administrators. Our schools really have been built on traditions and teaching and rhythms, and these last 18 months have been anything but traditional. I hope that you all get to have a restful summer and look forward to this next school year returning to a little bit more of what the normal was before 2020. As we're going through the last 18 months, how many times have you longed for the normal? How many times have we said, I remember when? I know that I've held out that memory of doing the littlest things without a mask as a beacon for hope for the future. Today we're going to take a look at a few stories from the Bible as I encourage you, don't forget to remember. So go with me to Mark chapter 8. If you don't have a Bible, don't worry, I'm going to put it on the screen. We're going to take a look at verses 14 through 21. The disciples had forgotten to bring bread, except for one loaf they had with them in the boat. Be careful, Jesus warned them. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and of Herod. And they discussed this with one another and said, It is because we have no bread. Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, why are you talking about having no bread? How many of us know that when Jesus asks a question, it's not for him, but it's for us? He says, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember when I broke the five loaves for the 5,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? 12, they replied. And when I broke the seven loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? They answered, 7. He said to them, do you still not understand? I want us to get used to this today, so repeat after me. Don't forget to remember. One more time, don't forget to remember. Father God, thank you so much for just the tremendous amount of blessings that you've given us here at CCC, both individually and as a family. Lord, we truly are blessed. As we come into this time of learning this morning, Father, I just ask that this small lesson be used by you to speak into us. Father, just move me out of the way, and I ask that your Holy Spirit might show us and convict us and give us the message that you have for us each individually. I say these things in your Son's name. Amen. Don't forget to remember. Can you believe that it's only been a year since we started wearing masks everywhere we went? Is it just me, or does it feel like these past 12 months have been going on for half a century? I don't think it's an exaggeration or even hyperbole to say that in just 18 months, this has been a time that has changed the world. I mean, come on, every year has its challenges. Every year has its defining moments. Every year has its problems. But not every year has such a shift in atmosphere, such a paradigm shift where you are left with more questions than answers, more complexity than you have clarity. And all of us are having to learn the art of adaptation. And if you're like me this year, I was having an intense prayer with God, also known as complaining. And I said, this year is crazy. I did not envision this. And I felt like God whispered something to me. He said, Jeremy, don't forget to remember that you prayed for this. I said, God, hold up, wait a minute. I did not pray for any of this. He said, oh, no, you did. He said, don't forget to remember, you're the one that said in January 2020, I want you to change my life this year. You're the one that said, Lord, whatever it takes for me to go deeper this year, I will go deeper. You're the one that said, Lord, I want more of you. I said, God, I said no such thing. Then he reminded me of that prayer that I had on New Year's 2020. Perhaps many of us have prayed many times a similar prayer. Isn't it funny how we want to be changed, but not challenged? We say, God, I want to go deeper, but I don't want to be disturbed. But God will disrupt you. He will do whatever it takes to make you become who he has called and created you to be. We serve a God that will disrupt us. He'll disturb you. He knows how to do it. He's always done it. That's what Jesus did on earth. He was always disturbing the comfortable and comforting the disturbed. And that's what's happening in the text today. Jesus is on a boat with his disciples. He's fed 4,000 people. He's on a boat with his disciples, and his disciples come on the boat and say, Lord, we forgot to bring bread. And Jesus looks at them and goes, be careful. They're like, what? Be careful of the yeast of the Pharisees and of Herod. The disciples are like, Jesus, it's just us on the boat. There's no Pharisees, there's no Herod. They're not on the boat. Be careful of the yeast and the Pharisees and of Herod, he says. Has anyone ever thought that it'd been cool to hang out with Jesus and talk with him? No, it wouldn't. It'd be confusing. Just like the disciple, we'd be confused just like the disciples because Jesus was fully God and fully man. He was God in the flesh. And when you're fully God and fully man and you're having conversations with people, sometimes those conversations are hard to understand. So back to the boat. When they're talking about the loaf of bread, he, Jesus, is like, I'm not talking about their bread. You're on the boat with the bread. But you're looking like you got a loaf of bread, but you're looking at the bread. And the bread said, be careful of the yeast of the Pharisees and of Herod. What is yeast? Well, I'm sure that Betty could give us an hour-long lecture on this, but yeast is a small fungi. It's tiny, and if you put it in the dough just a little bit, it will affect and contaminate all of the bread. The yeast, in this case, is a metaphor for unbelief. It's a metaphor for pride. It's a metaphor for sin. Jesus said, just a little bit of that can contaminate the bread. Then he says, be careful of the yeast of the Pharisees, religion, and Herod. Be careful of the yeast of Pharisees, that's religion, and Herod, that's politics. He said, don't start mixing that fungi in me, the bread, because I am the only one that can transform your soul. I'm the only one that can change your life. So don't start mixing things in the purity of the bread. Isn't it amazing how the Bible is applicable to us today after all this time? But the disciples, they still get confused. They were like, wait a minute. Oh, see, so we should have brought more bread. That's what he's talking about. Jesus is like, no, I'm talking about this bread, not that loaf of bread. But since you want to talk about that loaf of bread, okay, let's go deeper and talk about that loaf of bread. You're worried about one piece of bread when it's 12 of you on the boat. He said, when we fed 5,000, how many loaves did you have? Five. How many did you take up? 12 basketfuls? Okay. He said, when we fed the 4,000, how many loaves did you have? Seven. How many baskets of leftovers did you take up? Oh, we took up a bunch. Okay. Then I think we're good. If we only have one, because I'm on the boat with you, it's going to be all right. The disciples completely forgot. And I want to pause right here because, you know, I wasn't raised in the church, but I've been pretty active for the last 2 decades. And nobody ever told me that the miracle of feeding the multitudes happened twice. All this time in church, I don't remember hearing that. He first fed the 5,000, and then a few months later, he fed the 4,000. Well, why is that important? The feeding of the 5,000 and then the feeding of the 4,000? It should speak to us today because it lets us know that God did that miraculous work once, and then he turned around a few months later, and he did it again. That's good news for us today. That if God did something miraculous once, if God did something miraculous for us once, how many of you know that he has the power to do it again? That if God healed you once, he can heal you again. That if God opened up a door once, he can open it up again. Please don't let this pandemic make you nervous and question the power of our God. Because if he did it once, he can do it again. Some of you need to remember the history of all the things that God has done and brought you from, and all the things that he's done. And it's your history with God that should give you strength and faith for what you're facing now. Because if he did it once, he can do it again. Look at the God that we serve. This miracle of the multitudes, I think, has to be looked at not only because he did it twice, because it is in every single gospel. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all of them talk about feeding the multitudes. This is the only miracle that is mentioned besides the resurrection. That means it's important. It also means that Jesus is not just concerned with my soul, he's also concerned with my needs. What a wonderful thing to know that Jesus is not just concerned with the condition of my soul, but he's also concerned about my circumstances, what you're facing, what you're going through. You need to know that Jesus is concerned about it. Can I tell you something? If it matters to you, it matters to God. Actually, scratch that. If it matters to you, it matters more to God, because he is concerned about the condition of your soul, but he's also concerned about your circumstances. He's concerned about the bills that you're trying to figure out how you're going to pay. He's concerned about your anxiety and your depression. He cares about your soul, and he cares about your needs. Look at Jesus, who has the power to captivate thousands of people. Thousands of people forgot to eat. He was preaching so good. You know you're preaching good when people forget to eat. But even while he's preaching, he realized they need to eat. They're hungry. That is a message that God cares. Not only is it a message that God cares, it is a mandate to the church that we must reflect the character of Jesus. I love what the theologian Howard Thurman says. He says, the power of prayer is directly connected to your willingness to be a part of the answer. In other words, God is just looking for somebody to partner with, to care about the condition of the souls and the condition of people's circumstances. I want to look at these two miracles. I want to look at the feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding of the 4,000. I want to treat it like those pictures in magazines, if you've ever seen. For the younger generations, magazines are like paper that had pictures on it. If you ever seen, this is one of my favorites. It's like spot the difference, right, between the two things. I want us to look at these two miracles for a moment in the life of Jesus so we can understand what we need to remember. First thing I noticed that happened in both miracles is that there were a lot of people. So there was a problem. It says 4,000, 5,000, but that's not counting the women and the children. It's possibly 15 or 20,000 people. A lot of people and a problem. Because as many of you know, if you got people, you're going to have some problems. Don't forget to remember that we as a church are called to people. That means we're called to problems. There were a lot of people and there were problems. You can't separate problems from people. They go together. In both miracles, compassion was the catalyst for the miracles. In the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus was moved to compassion because he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. In the feeding of the 4,000, he says to his disciples, I have compassion for these people. It's one of the only times in the Bible that Jesus verbally says, I have compassion. So in one moment, the compassion calls him to move his life, and the next moment, the compassion calls him to move his lips and say it. But how many of you know to have compassion, you must take action? God's calling you to do something. In fact, compassion is where care and action collide. Yes, that's when you see compassion, and in both miracles, compassion was the catalyst for it. How many of you know we've got to be a people that have compassion, that have care? But we also take action. I also found it intriguing that in both miracles, the disciples were asking the wrong questions. Worry is often the byproduct of asking the wrong questions. They looked out and they said, how can we get enough money to buy bread for all these people? They looked out and said, how can we even find bread in this desolate place? Wrong questions. Matthew chapter 6, look at what it says. Verse 25. Jesus, so editorial note, I'm going to talk, this is not all, I'm going to talk some others. Okay. Chapter 6, look at what it says. Jesus says, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? Here come the questions. Well, what shall we wear? He said, for the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, then all these things will be added to you. I wonder if the reason you are worried is because you're asking the wrong questions. What if there's another lockdown? What if the kids can't go back to school? What if I've got to be a teacher again? Somebody just sneezed. What if I've got it? What am I going to do about my bills? What if I lose my 401k? What if I lose my pension? What if I lose my job? What if I lose this? Wrong questions. Those are the wrong questions. I'm not saying don't have wisdom, but worry is often the byproduct of asking the wrong questions. And in both feedings, the disciples asked the wrong questions. But Jesus gave them a better question. Here's the question Jesus asked in both of the miracles. He said, how many loaves do you have? That's a good question. I'm glad Jesus asked that question. How many loaves do you have? Do you know the power of that question? That means stop worrying and focusing on what you do not have. How about you focus on what you do have at your disposal? Oh, how many loaves do you have? How many loaves do you have? That question, that's the question to be asking yourselves. What do you have at your disposal? What has God given you? When you say, how many loaves do you have? That doesn't lead to worry. That leads to work. That makes me go. Where am I going to find what God has put on the inside of me? But he wouldn't be asking for loaves if the loaves weren't somewhere. How many loaves do you have? That means you have to do inventory as to what God has given you. Don't let the enemy make you focus on what you've lost. Look at how many loaves you have left. You might have lost your job, but you still have your mind, you still have your body, you still have your creativity, you're still here. How many loaves do you have? I brought this. I brought this. Don't judge my bread. I brought it from home. I know it's not much. It's not gluten-free. It is sugar-free, though. But it's mine. It's what I have. What do you have? See, it's easy to just look on Instagram and Facebook and like the picture of other people's loaves without considering what God has given you. But this is what I've got. I brought this bread today, and some of you guys are judging my illustration. I feel it. It's okay. You're like, well, Jeremy, you don't have any fish. There are fish there, too. Well, we didn't have any fish at the house. And by the way, Jesus never asked for fish. Read it when you get home. He never asked for fish. He never, in both miracles, never asked for fish. He only asked for loaves. It was in the process of looking for the loaves that they found they had some fish. It was in the process of taking inventory on what God had given them that they found, we've got something extra. I'm telling you, if you stop complaining about what you don't have and start giving God thanks and be grateful for what you do have, you're going to find some fish. In both of the miracles, in the disciples' hands, it wasn't enough. And isn't that what it feels like for all of us? Or am I the only one? Have you ever looked at the demand in front of you and looked at what's in your hands? And just had this feeling of it's not enough. It's not enough. I'm not enough. I can't be the husband that I've been called to be. I can't be the mom that I'm supposed to be. I can't be the leader or the business person that I want to be. I found out that even successful people have this gnawing in their soul that it's not enough. What are you doing that's not enough? Can I tell you? It will never be enough. You will never be enough. As long as it's in your hands. But God is calling you to take what is not enough and to put it in his hands. And once you get it out of your hands, then something miraculous can happen. But as long as it's in your hands, it can never be enough. It'll never be enough. Because in your hands, you are trying to control it. And if the last 18 months has not taught us anything, it ought to have taught us that we are not in control. You got to get it out of your hands and put it in his hands. It says, and he took it and broke it. He blessed it. I'm sorry. He took it, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it right back to them. Interesting that the miracle and the multiplication didn't happen in Jesus' hands. It couldn't have, because that didn't take faith. Listen, if it had started multiplying in his hands, they'd be like, oh, we're good. Here, give me some of that. No, he just blessed it, broke it, and said, there you go. Now pass it out. So that means that the multiplication in both miracles happened through interaction. This is the most inefficient miracle ever. You got thousands of people, and you got 12 guys to disperse to thousands of people. Come on, Jesus, you've got all the power. You could have just blinked your eyes and snapped your fingers and everybody would have been full. You could have created like a pop-up Long John Silver's with fish and hush puppies. Why in the world are 12 dudes passing out bread to possibly 15,000 people? How long is this miracle going to take? It doesn't matter how long it takes because the multiplication happened in the interaction. Can you see them passing out the bread and nervous because it's not multiplying yet? But they're passing out and trying to keep cool and having conversations like, hey, how you doing? Yeah, take a piece. Oh, not that big. No. Come on, we ain't got much here. Passing on, hey, is that your son? Oh, yeah, nice to see him. Oh, yeah, is that? I used to live over there. And then it started multiplying. And the conversation starts to change. Hey, how are you? Where are you from? There you go. Oh, we're almost out. Oh, no, there's more. And you got multiplication to happen through the interaction. They passed it out, and before you know it, they're leftovers. Here's my issue with the disciples. Jesus did this miracle twice. The feeding of the 5,000, okay, I'll give them a pass. I'll let you be nervous. I'm sure you busted a sweat going, there's not going to be enough, but then finally realized, okay, good, we're good. But months later, you're in the same scenario, and you don't notice the need. Jesus noticed the need, and he says, hey, I have compassion on these people, and they need to eat too. You should have gone, hey, yeah, done that. Been here, done that. Come on, where are the loaves? Let's get this going. We've been here before. Why in the world are you stressing? You already forgot. That's one component. Because how many of us know we're just like them? God's come through for you before in the middle of this pandemic, and you're stressing. God's come through before, and he'll come through again. Sometimes we forget the goodness and the faithfulness of God. We forget to remember. But I think it's actually a little bit deeper than that. It's a little bit deeper because don't forget, in the feeding of the 5,000, the disciples, the real issue was not the crowd, it was the price. They looked at it and they said, where can we get enough? I think this would take half a year's wages. It was the price. And the feeding of the 4,000, if you really look at it, it was the place and the people. Because remember what Jesus said, I have compassion on these people. And the disciples' answer was to say, where can we find enough bread to feed these people in this place? Which ought to make you ask, where was this place? The feeding of the 5,000 happened in Bethsaida by the Sea of Galilee in Jewish territory. The feeding of the 4,000 happened near the region of Decapolis, Gentile territory, a place that they had hardly gone, ever go, and with people they never really hung out with. And Jesus says, hey, I have compassion on these people too. Imagine how that interaction is when they're handing out the baskets this time. Here you go, take the bread, here, here, here. But the feeding of the 4,000 was a field trip to show the disciples that Jesus is the bread of life, and I'm not just for you, but I'm for the entire world, and everyone needs bread. Everyone is hungry, and I'm going to use you to give the bread to the entire world. Well, if you're going to be my witness to Jerusalem, I know you like that, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, I got to help you see people that you don't normally see. The feeding of the 4,000 was a field trip to help them see people that they didn't normally see. You know what you ought to pray during the season of craziness and chaos? Lord, help me see people I don't usually see, because they need bread too. Isn't it amazing how you can see people with addictions a certain way until somebody in your family has an addiction? Isn't it crazy how sometimes you can walk into a place and not even be concerned about whether they have elevators or if there's too many stairs until you have a parent or a child with a disability? Isn't it funny how we can look at things in certain situations and not really have compassion or understand because we don't see what we need to see? Thank God for feeding the 5,000 and the 4,000, because you know what he was trying to do with the disciples? What he did with the bread, he took it, he blessed it, he broke it, and then he multiplied it. That's what God wants to do with your life. He wants to take you, bless you, break you, so that ultimately your life can touch somebody else's. And sometimes it's in the breaking. He'll make you see people you don't normally see. I can tell you this season, this pandemic, it's been difficult, to say the least. It's been a season of breaking. But prayers never expire. You know that you won't be here in this earthly form to see all of your prayers answered. That's why you can't quit. You can't give up, because there are people and generations coming after you. That's why you can't give up in the breaking. Don't forget to remember the provision of your God. Don't forget to remember that God wants to take you, bless you, and break you, and multiply you, so that you will be share who he is, the bread of life, to the entire world who is hungry for him. We're going to sing this last song, and then I'll close us down with a short thought.